Think about it. Some of them have followed Jesus for almost 3 years, watching him do the miracles and hearing him do the teaching. I'd be willing to bet that they were pretty comfortable with that arrangement, don't you think? He was the teacher, they were the students. He was the leader, they were the followers. He was the active one, they were the passive spectators. But now Jesus called them to look at discipleship from another point of view. He transformed them from receivers, spectators, followers, and learners to givers, participants, goers, and teachers. Can you see the fundamental change that Jesus required of these 70 people? Yes? No? Can you hear that? Do you think they were just a little nervous? Just a little? Well, I might have just a small inkling of an idea of what they must have felt. I received a specialization of evangelism from St. Paul Seminary. Jamie and I read all the books, or at least all of them that we knew about, on evangelism and how to start new churches. And the church has been training us over the course of several years and sending us to conferences about how to start new churches. In a way, we've been following Jesus and soaking up his wisdom. But suddenly, when Jamie and Paul and David and I, Stephen was yet to be born, found ourselves in St. Charles County over by St. Louis, we were strangers in a strange land. We were all alone, or at least we felt like it. Talk about a paradigm shift. Probably the thing that I disliked the most was knocking on people's doors. But guess what Paul and I did? We walked down the street, knock on the door, take a few steps back, and take a deep breath, because we didn't know what was going to come to the door. We knocked on our neighbors' doors. We walked far away, drove far away, and knocked on doors to tell people about this new church plant, Church of the Crossroads. Well, the second thing that I dislike the most is cold calling people. And probably I hate receiving cold calls more than that. But anyway, I made hundreds of calls to people that I had never talked to or heard of before. Matter of fact, the telephone campaign that the church did, we spent 5 weeks calling 21,000 people, inviting them to church. Wow. I have a little idea of what the disciples probably felt whenever Jesus made this paradigm shift on their lives. It's not easy to let go of comfortable and familiar ways, is it? We know what to expect, don't we, in our paradigms. We can kind of control our world, we think, with our paradigms. Yes, I think it's pretty much the same for the disciples that Jesus sent out. No doubt they were terrified at first, but I think that after they got onto it, they wouldn't have let it go for anything. After all, we're sitting here today, right? We're sitting here today. Well, God's paradigm shift was Jesus. Jesus was God's paradigm shift in the flesh. Jesus came because God changed the way he looked at his people, and he wanted us to change how we looked at God. Let's think about this for a minute. Instead of looking at people with an eye toward justice, God and Jesus now looks at his people with an eye toward mercy. Instead of remaining far off in heaven, God and Jesus came close to his people on earth. Instead of waiting for people to seek him, God and Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Instead of seeing people die every day in their sins, God and Jesus died for them on the cross. Instead of helplessly watching his people cut themselves off from him, God and Jesus reconciles himself to us. Do you see that paradigm shift that God made? The whole life and ministry of Jesus came about because God changed the fundamental way he deals with his people. Next slide, Bill. Next slide. In today's gospel, Jesus activated the troops. If you think about it, Jesus took his two hands, Jesus, the 70 plus the 12 disciples, his ministry took an evangelistic leap of 83 times. In other words, instead of just Jesus' two hands, he had 166 hands doing ministry and expanding the kingdom of God. That's quite a leap, isn't it? Quite a leap. Jesus wants more and more people to be moved by that good news so that they become willing to tell others good news, and on and on and on. shift business that God is in. I've always come out of the paradigm that Jesus came to teach and to save. Anybody else? Jesus came to teach and to save. That's kind of the way I looked at the world. Although the saving part of that goes without saying. You're pretty behind there, Bill, if you could catch up with me there. Yeah. Keep on going until you get to page 4. All right. Although the saving part of that goes without saying, it has always bothered me that Jesus, assuming he came to teach, didn't stick around and teach some more. Anybody else have that frustration? Yeah. Why didn't he clear up some of those tough questions that we have and are dealing with in the church today? It's always bothered me that Jesus, assuming he came to heal, didn't stick around and heal some more people. Why didn't he just clear up sickness altogether in the world? I'm sure all of us have asked that question. Well, today's gospel helps me, at least, and I hope you, and after I'm done, answer those questions. Jesus didn't come to teach the crowds. You ever thought about that? Jesus came to teach the disciples how to teach. Jesus didn't come to heal people so much as he came to show the disciples how to heal people in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't have a 3-year ministry to the crowds so much as he had a 3-year ministry to the disciples whom he trained to carry on his work. Have you ever thought about it that way?